أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت لك الحمد يا ربي على نعمة الإسلام ولك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد وأجود من سئل وأرأف من ملك أنت الملك لا شريك لك والأحد الذي لا ند له لن تطاع إلا بإذنك ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك تطاع فتشكر وتعصى فتغفر الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر القلوب لك مفضية والسر عندك علانية والحلال ما أحللت والحرام ما حرمت والدين ما شرعت والعبد عبدك والبلد بلدك والأرض أرضك وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah, peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. The names of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has 99 names, 100 less one. Whomsoever has good command, good understanding, good memorization of these names, Allah will admit him or her to Jannah. Today's name is the central name in our life. And the central name is the first name that we teach our children. Is the name that is the most important name and the most represents the most important concept in our religion, in our monotheistic religion, which is Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad. What is the difference between Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad? Al-Wahid means the one of a kind. He has no match. And it means also that we should not treat anybody the way we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't love anybody the way we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't beg anybody of our needs the way we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs. And that is al-wahid, the one of a kind. If we ever betray that, if we ever love or treat anybody the way Allah is to be treated, or trust anybody the way Allah is to be trusted, then we have injured our monotheism. And also, it has to do with the names of greatness, that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only owner for the names of greatness. Nobody else deserves to be called in heavens and earth any of these names of greatness except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the creator of all, nobody's to be called the creator of all except Him, the supporter of all except Him, the provider of all except Him. Him and only Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be called these names of greatness. And anybody who tries to claim to himself the names of greatness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will break that person, and Allah will not worry about that person at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith al-Qudsi that glory is my gown, greatness is my clothes. Al-azamatu rida'i wal-kibriya'u izari. Al-azamatu izari wal-kibriya'u rida'i. Man naza'ani fihima qasamtuhu wa la ubali. Greatness is my gown. Greatness is my glory is my gown. Greatness is my clothes. Whomsoever tries to share them with me, I break him and I don't care. And so that's also another meaning of the name al-wahid. How about the al-ahad? Is it a repeated meaning? No. Al-ahad means a unit that cannot be divided into subunits. Because we can have one car, it's one car, and it could be also one of a kind car, because there's no car like it. And yet, this car can be divided into pieces: body, engine, doors, wheels, fender, bumper. But it can be divided into pieces. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ahad means the full, complete unit that cannot be divided, cannot be partitioned, cannot be broken into pieces, cannot be partitioned into Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. It is one flawless, complete, self-sufficient, self-supported, everlasting unit. Al-Ahad, the unit. He is Allah, the unit. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. And this is why what the surah in the Quran that is equivalent to one-third of the Quran is Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, not Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Because Ahad is the name that indicates that Allah is one, and also demonstrates that Allah, or explains that Allah is one, and Allah is not to be partitioned or broken into pieces. There are many evidence and from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is it logically, Allah is explaining logically in the Quran, why subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذًا لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَى ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا. Tell them that they are saying Allah has partners. Tell them that if He has partners, then they will try to seek the position of power. They will try to seek, there will be a power struggle between them. Who's going to be in command? And indeed, this will ruin the earth and ruin existence, because a war like that is going to ruin the whole existence. In Surah Al-Anbiya, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا أَلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. If it has any other God other than Allah, which is one, it would have been ruined. Because the universe, if it's created by more than one God, then things would not work together. Things will not fit together. Because, you know, when two people manufacture something and they are two partners, independent, then these two things will not fit together. They will not interface together. And in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a logical explanation, or giving them, the people of Mecca who said that He has partners, He's giving them a logical reply. He said, ضَرَبَ لَكُمْ مَثَلًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ هَلْ لَكُمْ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِّنْ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ فَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ تَخَافُونَهُمْ كَخِيفَتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. So Allah is telling them, I will give you an example. And the property that you own, imagine that you had slaves, and those slaves, you own slaves, and they did, the Arab lords owned a lot of slaves. So Allah told them, imagine that those slaves you own are partners to you. Would you accept them to be partners to you? Would you accept them to share, to be partners in your wealth and to be partners in your property? And you will consider them every time you want to make a decision, and you will worry that they might disagree about your decision and override your decision. Would you accept this to yourself? And of course the answer is no. Then why wouldn't you accept it to yourself? Why? How could you not accept it to yourself, but accept it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we always hear subhanallah anytime any of those deficiencies are Allah is accused of any deficiencies. We say subhanallah means Allah is better than that. If anybody says Allah eats, we say subhanallah means Allah better than that. If somebody says Allah sleeps, we say subhanallah, Allah is better than that, better than eating and better than sleeping. And in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah is demonstrating and explaining logically to us, why is it mercy that He's one? Allah is saying that He, think about this example. Allah is saying, I'm giving you an example of a person who has multiple masters. Not only one master, multiple masters. He, that slave who has multiple masters, would be the most miserable slave. Why? Because this master tells him, do A. And then master B tells him, do B. And then he will be confused. Should I listen to master A and or master B? Because they both are not asking for the same thing. They are asking for two different things. If he pleases master A, then master B is going to punish him. If he pleases master B, then master A is going to punish him. So this guy is doomed either way. It's a lose-lose situation. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained it. Now, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was one philosopher in the past that used to say, you guys say that Allah is one of a kind who can do everything that He wants. Then we say yes. So he says, can he do everything we want? He wants? We say yes. Then he says, can he create a rock that is so heavy that he himself cannot lift it? Then that's how the question is tricky. It's tricky because if you say, no, he cannot create a rock that is so heavy that he cannot lift it, then here is one thing that Allah can't do, which is create the rock. And if you say, yes, he can, then here's another, there's one thing that Allah can't do, which is not able to lift the rock. And indeed, we need to understand how to reply to this question. Allah will do only what's appropriate for His Majesty. It's not anything that Allah will do. Allah will do what is appropriate for His Majesty. It's not appropriate for His Majesty to create a force stronger than Him, or to create a super God that is going to be more strong than Him and controls Him. It's not appropriate for His Majesty. Allah, I've explained that. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can commit injustice. But He said, I made injustice prohibited on me. So don't, and I made it prohibited on you. So don't do injustice to each other. Astaghfirullah, can Allah lie? Astaghfirullah, that's not appropriate for His Majesty. So He's not going to do it. And so forth. There are so many. It's not that Allah would do anything. Allah would do only the things that He wills to do. He would will to do only the things that are appropriate for His Majesty. There are many things that are not appropriate for His Majesty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to do. So it is important to understand this. Now there are so many evidences from the reality, from the universe, from the created universe, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. I'll give you a couple of examples. The first example about the birds. In China, there were specific kind of birds. They used to eat half of the crops. So every time the Chinese grow crops, they find that the crops that they grew, are that they harvest, are less, are about 50% of the crops that they plant. So they plant crops, they get only 50%. And the other 50% are eaten by the birds.
So they got really upset at these birds, and they say, we want to get rid of those birds so that when we get rid of those birds, we have 100% of the crops, of the crop. We don't have to give up 50%. And they found out that if these birds don't sleep for 3 days, they die. So what they decided to do, they divided themselves into shifts. And they got drums, very loud drums. And they kept beating the drums 24 hours a day for 3 days until these birds died. So they were happy. And then they say, the next harvest, we're going to harvest 100% of the crops. Guess what happened? Because these crops used to also feed on a specific kind of worm, and this worm is very harmful to the plant that they are growing, because these birds used to feed on these worms too, and they killed the birds, these worms grew up to uncontrollable number of these worms became existing, and there are no birds to feed on them, so the number became outrageous, and they ruined the entire crop. So instead of getting 100%, they got 0%. Because they tried to change something that Allah has created. The message here is that Allah is the creator of different things. He is the creator of the worms, and He is the creator of the birds. And He designs it in such a way so that it works together to create a balance. To create a balance in the universe. To create a balance in the existence, in the laws of nature. So, because He's one, that's an evidence that testifies, because the Maker is one, things work together. Another example is that the example of the three components or three different creations working together to produce one product. And those three creations are independent of one another. They are far away from each other. They cooperate together and they synchronize themselves together to create one product, such as the sun, the wind, and the ocean. Three different creations, independent from each other. Because the creator is one, then he made these three different creations work together to produce one product. And that's another evidence that the maker is one. Because if the maker is more than one, then they will not cooperate together. Or if there's no maker, then they will not work together as a team to produce one product. The sun and the wind and the ocean work together to produce the rain, which is one product. How could they cooperate together in such a way? It's because the maker is one who designed them so that they work together. The sun heats the water evaporates, the wind blows the water, and then the rain comes. So they work together to produce one product. And that leads us to a very important concept that we need to keep in mind all the time. That the maker of the laws of Islam and the laws of nature is the same. We have two kinds of laws. We have the laws of nature and the laws of Islam. The laws of nature, nobody can break them. It doesn't matter who is this person. It doesn't matter who is this creation, the laws of nature are unbreakable. You cannot stop yourself from aging. You would age. Allah would compel your body to age. You cannot stop yourself. You cannot change the way you are being conceived in your mother's womb. You develop as a baby, as a fetus, as a baby inside your mother's womb. You cannot change that. That's a law of nature. There's no choice. Not only humans cannot break the laws of nature, but there are other creations of Allah that are controlled 100% by the laws of nature, like the sun, for example. The sun can't come late, 10 minutes. You have the most accurate schedule here for the sun coming and leaving. And the sun cannot violate that, because this schedule is calculated based on the laws of nature that the sun is following. And the sun and the moon don't have the choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالت أتينا طائعين فقضاهن سبع سماوات في يومين وأوحى في كل سماء أمرها وزينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وحفظ ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم. But Allah addressed the heavens and the earth when they were in a state of smoke. And He told them, be submissive to my laws of nature, whether you like it or not. So they said, Ya Allah, whether you choose this or you don't choose this, you will be submissive to my laws of nature. So they will say, Ya Allah, we will submit to your laws of nature by our choice. And so the same thing is the sun. Al-i'tiya taw'an aw karha. The same concept of every other creation, that they don't have a free choice. They are controlled by the laws of nature, 100% by the laws of nature. Except us humans and the jinn kind, those are not only controlled by the laws of nature, but they are controlled also by the laws of Islam. But in the laws of Islam, we have the freedom to break them or to respect them. We have the freedom to disobey the laws of Islam or not to disobey the laws of Islam. But we don't have the freedom to disobey the laws of nature or obey the laws of nature because we are compelled to and forced to follow the laws of nature. Why is this important? Because the maker of both laws is the same, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He designed both laws, the laws of Islam and the laws of nature. He designed both of them to fit together like that. They fit together in a very harmonious, beautiful way. Because He's the one who made both. So He will never made one to conflict with the other. He will never made them so that they bump heads together or they butt heads together. Allah would never do that because He's the maker of both. So He made them fit together in a very harmonious way. So if we choose to follow the laws of Islam, that we have a choice to follow or not to follow, then we will live in peace with the laws of nature. Why? Because the designer of both have made them fit together. But if we decide to disobey the laws of Islam, then we will conflict with the laws of nature and bump heads with the laws of nature. And this will make us miserable. And this is why in Surah Taha, Allah said, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قال ربي لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. That whomsoever turns his back to my guidance, disobeyed my guidance, will have a miserable life. The source of this miserable life is because this person is pumping heads with the laws of nature, is conflicting with his own body that is being controlled by the laws of nature. Heart, the most important muscle in our body, is controlled by the laws of nature, not by us. Every, you know, the way the food is being digested, the way our body functions, not only that we don't know how it functions, but it's fully controlled by the laws of nature without any choice. So that person who disobeys the laws of Islam will end up fighting and conflicting with the laws of nature. And that is going to be a miserable life for that person. It's going to be a miserable life. And then Allah will resurrect him in the day of judgment blind as a punishment. So that person would say, Ya Allah, in the past life, which is the life of this world, in the past life, I had eyes and I was able to see. Why in this day of judgment I don't have eyes and why in this day of judgment I am blind and I can't see? Allah would reply and say, because you have given my guidance the blind eye in the previous life of this world, I am giving you the blind eye in the next life, which is the day of judgment. Because you gave my, it's the punishment of the same kind as the sin. You give my guidance the blind eye, I am giving you the blind eye today. Blind, you deserve it. Let me give you a couple of illustrative examples to explain how that. The laws of nature say that alcohol will harm the body. There's no way you can change that. It's laws of nature. And anybody who drinks alcohol, his body will react with the alcohol in a certain way, defined and determined by the laws of nature. And not only that, but also the way alcohol threatens our existence, drunk driving, drunk drivers, about abuse, getting drunk and abusing wife and children, All these problems resulting from alcohol are because of the laws of nature. Allah made the alcohol subject to the laws of nature that makes it mostly harmful. Drink and drive, or accidents. Do you know that the number of people who die because of drink and driving accidents, drunk drivers, those people are more than 60,000 human every year, which is more than the people who died in Vietnam War. That's every year. It's more dangerous than Vietnam War. So Allah says in the laws of Islam, don't drink alcohol. So now if you respect the laws of Islam, then you will live in peace with the laws of nature, and alcohol is not going to harm you. But if you disobey the laws of Islam and drink alcohol, then you will run into all kinds of problems and be resulting from the laws of nature controlling alcohol. Another example is the law of nature that says, no justice, no peace. Allah designed the law of nature in such a way that if life is just, then people will live peacefully. If life is unfair, if you commit injustice to others, it will backfire on you. And you will lose peace. There was no justice, there's no peace. And we can indeed see that clearly. For example, when we go through the airports. In the past, when we were fair, more fair than now to others, then we would walk in and out of the airport with minimum security checks. Like you just walk in and out and you can go all the way to the terminal and come back and minimum security checks. And it was peaceful and nice. We lost this peace when we started doing injustice to others. When we became like a wild animal or like a monster that goes out in the jungle and eats the flesh of everybody else and then bring this flesh home for his children to eat. Well, the children of the monster will always treat his children very kindly, and the monster will always be very gentle to his children. Of course, those are the children of the monster, which are the citizens. Now, when the monster goes out in the jungle, he cuts and he eats, he attacks the flesh of everybody to bring home and feed his children. When we started acting using this model, when we started being unfair to others, look what happened. It backfired on us and we ended up in this miserable situation. You go through the airport, it's a torture. No peace at all. It's a torture until you get to the airplane. Add on the top of that, not only that it's a torture, but also you get all kinds of screening checks to the level that they have laser right now that goes into your body and can see your private parts and things like that. This, we lost peace because no peace, no justice, no peace. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُ.
Move a little bit front, back.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The names of Allah work together. Any understanding of the names of Allah that violates one of them, then this understanding is false. So whenever we try to understand the names of Allah, we have to bring them all together. And we reject any understanding that conflicts with any of those names. So when it comes to the name of Allah, Al-Wasi', Al-Wasi' is the most wide. The one that has, or using today's language, we say the infinity. He is infinitely rich. He's infinite in his wisdom. He's infinite in everything about him. Infinite in his wisdom, infinite in his glory, infinite in his greatness, infinite in his generosity, infinite in every infinite aspect about him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. For he has infinite names, not only 99, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when he used to make dua, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ إِسْمٍ هُوَ لَكْ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْفِكَ أَوْ اسْتَغْفَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. I pray for you. I pray to you and I ask you, using the names, all your names, the names that you have taught some of your creations, the names that you kept for yourself and didn't teach anybody, or the names that you made secret with a special or specific kind of creation, or the names that are announced to everybody, like the 99 names. I ask you for this, I ask you for that. So Allah has infinite names, and He's infinite in every infinite aspect about these names. This name, Al-Wasa, would also prove that Allah is one. Why? Because logically speaking, you cannot have two infinities in existence. You can only have one infinity. You cannot have two. Think about it. If we have two infinities coexisting together, then by definition, neither one of them is an infinity. Why? Because there has to be a boundary between the two infinities. This boundary is going to be a boundary where the first infinity ends and the second infinity starts. Because they have to exist, coexist, then there has to be a partition where the first infinity ends and the second infinity starts. Having a boundary violates the definition of infinity. Infinity means you don't have any boundaries. You don't have any limits. So having a boundary, having a limit to the end of my infinity and the beginning of my partner's infinity means I'm not an infinity anymore. So therefore, logically speaking, mathematically speaking, and logically speaking, and common sense speaking, there has to be only one infinity. Or if we have more than one infinity, then neither one of them is an infinity, because they would have both have a boundary or a partition. So we need to keep that in mind. The other names of Allah will logically support that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Another example that also we use to explain that we cannot understand the names of Allah in isolation of one another is one of the names of Allah is Al-Mudil, even though not all scholars agree that it's one of the names of Allah, but some of them say that the one who misguides is one of the names of Allah, that He misguides people. Now, if you try to understand this name in isolation of other names, okay, which is the most just, al-adil, the most fair, then you say, okay, Allah then misguides people just like that. But if you understand this name in the presence of the name al-hakim, the most wise, and the name al-adil, the most fair and just, then this will give you the understanding that Allah will misguide as a punishment the ones who chose misguidance. So if somebody chooses misguidance, then this person, Allah will misguide that person as a punishment. And the one who chooses guidance, Allah will guide this person as a reward. In other words, Allah will make it possible for that person to either go the path of misguidance or the path of guidance. In other words, if you want to go forward and you have the desire and the interest to go forward, Allah will push you forward. If you have the desire and the interest to go backward, Allah will push you backward and make it possible for you to go backward. So Allah misguides and guides. Allah misguides as a punishment, the one who chose misguidance using their free will. And Allah guides as a reward and support the ones who chose guidance by their free wills, by their free will. And that's how this explanation fits with the other explanation. And that, this is related, very much related to the name Al-Wahid, because Allah is one, then His names cannot conflict. If the names of Allah conflict with one another, then He's not one. He's one, so all His names work together in a very harmonious way. And then somebody says, okay, Allah yudullu man yasha, Allah one misguides whomsoever He wants. Yes, that's a common sense. Why? Because let's get the opposite of this statement. Let's flip this statement and get the opposite. What would be the opposite of this statement, which is the statement that says Allah guides whomsoever He wants? The opposite of this statement is that people are guided and misguided against the will of Allah. That's the opposite. Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever He wants. The opposite to that is that people will get guided and misguided against the will of Allah, whether Allah likes it or not, whether He wants or doesn't want, they will be guided or misguided. The opposite to this statement does not fit with any common sense. I mean, how could you say Allah, subhanAllah, Allah's better than that? How can you say that people are guided or misguided, even whether Allah likes it or not, whether Allah wants it or not? Then the opposite to this nonsense statement becomes the common sense. Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever He wants. His will is superior to our will. If you will, the will of Allah will override your will. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. To those of you who will to walk in the straight path, and you will never will without Allah allowing you to will. And you will never achieve what you want without Allah allowing you. So don't you ever think that we have a free will, that it means it will override the will of Allah. No, we have a free will subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either approve it and endorse it, or reject it and change it. أقول قبلي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إني داع فقول أمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. انصر عبادك المؤمنين المستضعفين. اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وظلموهم، قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم تقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء، وادفع عن أحيائهم واشف مرضاهم، وفك أسر سجنائهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال يا رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
إنما ذلكم الله إنما إلهكم الله الذي لا إله إلا هو وسع كل شيء علما كذلك نقص عليك من أنباء ما قد سبق وقد آتيناك من لدنا ذكرا من أعرض عنه فإنه يحمل يوم القيامة وزرا خالدين فيه وساء لهم يوم القيامة حملا يوم ينفخ في الصور ونحشر المجرمين يومئذ زرقا يتخافتون بينهم إن لبثتم إلا عشرا نحن أعلم بما يقولون إذ يقول أمثلهم طريقة إن لبثتم إلا يوما ويسألونك عن الجبال فقل ينسفها ربي نسفا فيذرها قاعا صفصفا لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أمتا يومئذ يتبعون الداعي لا عوج له وخشعت الأصوات للرحمن فلا تسمع إلا همسا يومئذ لا تنفع الشفاعة إلا من أذن له الرحمن ورضي له قولا يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون به علما وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم وقد خاب من حمل ظلما ومن يعمل من الصالحات وهو مؤمن فلا يخاف ظلما ولا هضما الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قلنا اهبطوا منها جميعا فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى وكذلك نجزي من أسرف ولم يؤمن بآيات ربه ولعذاب الآخرة أشد وأبقى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم